This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 279, for the weekend of December 23rd through December 25th. Happy holidays, everybody. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. So this little podcast where we talk about movies, TV, and other stuff. Art, how's it going?
It's going good. We're on a two-week streak. I mean, prior to 2016, that would have been impressive for, like, the Cubs. But, you know, now that they actually won something, hey, it's a different world.
Yeah, so I have bad news. I can't record next week. No, I'm just kidding.
That's all right. We've already made our streak. It's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, you got to crawl before you stagger, right? Is that what they say? Okay. All right. So let's move on over to something that's not staggering.
Actually, I think it's
quite the last week's box office. So for those keeping score, this is going to be for the weekend of December 16th through December 18th. Here's the top five for last week. At number one, we have this little movie, Rogue One : A Star Wars Story, that pulled in $155 million. Per screen average of $37,306. At number two, we have Moana at $12.7 million. At number three, we have Office Christmas Party at $8.6 million. We have number four, new release Collateral Beauty, at $7.1 million. And at number five, we have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, but not a lot of people finding them because it's $5.1 million. And there's your top five. And by the way, Office Party dropped 49.2%. Fantastic Beasts dropped 51.3%.
Yeah, no one's surprised by this. Rogue One, number one. That's a decent opener, $155 million, and it word of mouth seems to be really, really good. I mean, everybody I know who's seen it is practically raving about it. I think I heard one person who was like, meh.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody that was meh. Just very, it's kind of a sliding scale from good to great.
Yeah, a good number of people were putting it as either number one or just behind Empire.
All right, let's talk about that later.
Sure. I'm just talking about what people are saying. I'm not talking about what I'm saying.
Right. Okay, so one little side note before we leave last week's box office. So if you're looking at the top 10 movies in box office revenue for the year of 2016, you have Disney has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, has five of them.
Half of the movies in the top 10.
Warner Brothers has 3, Fox has 1, and Universal has 1. So the lone Universal is Secret Life of Pets is at number 3.
Nice.
The lone Fox is, of course, Deadpool at 3. And that's at number 5, and I don't think there's any danger. Because none of these are really that active. Well, you know what? Let's just call it right now that because Rogue One is 5 million short from jumping into number 10, so that would be 6 Disneys.
Wow!
And that's going to knock out a Warner Brothers. So that's going to be 6 Disneys, 2 Warner Brothers, 1 Fox, 1 Universal. And we already know that they've broken the record for yearly box office by a single studio, going over $7 billion.
Wow.
But we might be able to report once the year ends exactly how far they got. All right. So that was last week's box office. And so now let's mosey on over to new movies. Buckle up, folks, because we have 4 movies that we're going to talk about. So Art, start with number one.
All right, number one, we are kicking it off with Thing. It is 71% fresh, 89 reviews counted, 63 fresh, 26 rotten. 79% want to see it out of 11,984 user rating. Wow. I just saw this. It is a koala impresario stages a grand singing competition for the world's animals in order to save his elegant theater in a quirky animated musical. It is one sentence. I scrolled past it three times.
Well, what do you need to know? Let's be honest.
Animals sing. Yay. It's a follow-up to Zootopia, basically. I mean, you know, kind of, sort of. It's rated PG for some rude humor and mild peril. Animation, comedy, musical, and performing arts is the genre. Directed by Garth Jennings. Written by Garth Jennings. Runtime 108 minutes from Illumination Entertainment. So we have Matthew McConaughey, Reese Witherspoon, Seth MacFarlane, Scarlett Johansson, John C. Reilly, Jennifer Hudson, Garth Jennings, Nick Kroll, yeah, Nick Offerman, Rhea Perlman. Those are all the names I recognize. A veritable who's who. Brittany wants to see this in a bad way. I don't even think she's realized that it's opened. So I think I will wake her tomorrow with already having bought tickets.
Yeah. You know, of the four movies that we're going to talk about, this is the only one that's actually fresh at 71%. So it's not a rock solid fresh. It could dip down, but yeah, it's nothing too innovative probably in this one.
No, but,
you know,
cute animals singing. It is. Brittany has been, she's more excited about this than she was about Trolls. And she was pretty excited about Trolls. That was very disappointing. So hopefully this will not be a repeat in that sense.
Yeah. Peter Travers from Rolling Stone. Sing does not have the grit or the grace notes of Zootopia. No potent metaphors here about predators and victims. The film slides by simply by shaking its sillies out. You could do worse. So anyways, that review probably is right in line with the 71%. So yeah, you know, it's, if there wasn't so many other movies that I wanted to see before this, and you know, the kids are older now, this might be a little above, but you know, you never know. They might want to see this.
Yeah, no, this is right in the wheelhouse for our family.
All right. I'm going to talk about one of my two assigned movies. I'm going to talk to you about Passengers. Passengers is currently 31% on the tomato meter. Yeah, that's 100 rotten reviews for this movie. Out of 26,000 user ratings, 68% say they liked it. So that's a fresh popcorn for those of people that know what I'm talking about. All right. So here's the description. Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt star in an exciting action thriller about two passengers who are on a 120-year journey to another planet when their hibernation pods wake them up 90 years too early. Jim and Aurora are forced to unravel the mystery behind the malfunction as the ship teeters on the brink of collapse, with the lives of thousands of passengers in jeopardy. This is PG-13 for sexuality, nudity, and action/peril. Your genres are a whole bunch of them. Action, adventure, drama, science fiction, and fantasy. Written by John Spates. Directed by Morten Tildum. This will cost you 116 minutes. I already told you about Miss Lawrence and Mr. Pratt. Michael Sheen, Lawrence Fishburne, Andy Garcia. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell too much between the description and the trailer about, you know, what it's really about, but
I think it's pretty clear what it's about. I mean, I don't see what there is to not understand. It's very clear. Oh, there.
Okay.
It's supposed to be in hibernation sleep. They wake up early.
But peril, why?
Peril ensues. I think it's because of some of the things they've showed that the ship is in trouble for whatever reason, you know? So I think it woke up a couple of people to try and address the issue. Or, yeah, I don't know. I think it we'll see. I think it looks really interesting. I'm interested in seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm sad that it has so many bad reviews that I might end up waiting till it's at the cheap show, but, or maybe just a matinee alone. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to say without seeing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'll make it to the theater to see this one. This might be, I'll probably stream this when I can.
Yeah. I'm really curious. That's the problem. I really want to know. And I mean, I like Chris Pratt a lot. That goes a long way in making me want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. Same here. All right. Next movie, Art.
All right. Next up, Assassin's Creed. This is 20% rotten. 92 reviews, 18 fresh, 74 rotten. So a worse score, but less rotten reviews. So less people are taking the time to tell us how much they hate this movie. 73% want to see it out of 44,608. Through a revolutionary technology that unlocks his genetic memories, Callum Lynch, Michael Fassbender, experiences the adventures of his ancestor Aguilar in the 15th century Spain. Callum discovers he is descended from a mysterious secret society, the Assassins, and amasses incredible knowledge and skills to take on the oppressive and powerful Templar organization in the present day. Assassin's Creed stars Academy Award nominee Michael Fassbender, X-Men Days of Future Past, 12 Years a Slave, and Academy Award winner Marion Cotillard?
Dark Knight, close enough. She's French.
Right. Dark Knight Rises, La Vie en Rose. The film was directed by Justin Kurzel, Snowtown, Macbeth, produced by New Regency, Ubisoft Motion Pictures, DMC Films, and Kennedy Marshall, co-financed by Rat Pack Entertainment and Alpha Pictures, and distributed by 20th Century Fox. My goodness, everybody's got their fingers in that pie.
Well, you know, this is usually we give people crap for having a really phoned in description. This one should have been phoned in as opposed to who financed this thing.
Right. Well, this is a big property.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed opens in theaters worldwide December 21st, 2016. Right. Okay. PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and action, thematic elements, and brief, strong language. Genre, action, adventure, drama, directed by Justin Kurzel, written by Bill College, Adam Cooper, and Michael Leslie. Runtime, 116 minutes. Let's see, who else do we have? We have Jeremy Irons, we have Brendan Gleeson, we have Michael K. Williams.
Good luck.
Yeah, nobody else that I really recognize. So, yeah, I've never played any of these games, so I have no interest. I do know quite a bit about the universe because Geek History Lesson did a whole episode on Assassin's Creed that I just listened to, I think, yesterday.
Okay.
So it was very informative. It sounds like a very interesting universe. I just don't really have any interest.
Yeah, okay. I myself have not played any Assassin's Creed video games, and I don't know. There's not a lot of video games right now that will get me to the theater, even though I do enjoy, you know, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
But when Deadline's critic says yet another head scratching video game adaptation, but this one wastes an A-list cast on pure hokum, although it's not as bad as Warcraft. And I went to go see Warcraft in the theater, so maybe I do have to see this. I don't know. Probably not. Probably not.
You don't have any investment.
All right. So we've been kind of starting at kids and going up to adults. So let me tell you about the last movie, another R-rated comedy. Is it R? Spoiler alert. It is. Yeah, it's R. Okay. Let me tell you about Why Him. Why Him is 39%. And I haven't looked at the reviews, but there's got to be one that says they should have called this Why Me. 39% on the tomato meter, 95% out of 8,416 people that want to see it. So here's the description. Over the holidays, Ned, played by Bryan Cranston, an overprotective but loving dad and his family visit his daughter at Stanford, where he meets his biggest nightmare, her well-meaning but socially awkward Silicon Valley billionaire boyfriend, Laird, played by James Franco. The straight-laced Ned thinks Laird, who has absolutely no filter, is a wildly inappropriate match for his daughter. The one-sided rivalry and Ned's panic level escalate when he finds himself increasingly out of step in the glamorous high-tech hub and learns that Laird is about to pop the question. Oh, I thought there's more, but there isn't. Okay, rating is R for strong language and sexual material throughout. Sexual material. Genre is comedy, written by John Hamburg and Ian Helfer, directed by John Hamburg. This is 111 minutes, or 1 hour and 51 minutes, you're doing the math. So the cast, not a whole lot. Bryan Cranston, James Franco, Zoe Dutch, Megan Mullally, Cedric the Entertainer, hey, Keegan-Michael Key, Adam Devine. So, yeah. My daughter really likes James Franco, and she's bugging me to take her to see this, but I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
I know you're asking me before we before the show started who Zoe Dutch is. Did you get your answer?
I did not. I went and looked it up. She looked familiar, but I didn't recognize anything she had been in. But I will report this. So from my tab from earlier, I had it at 38%. So you just read it at 39%. So there's been one more fresh review since I first uploaded. So maybe we're getting an uptick. This movie's it's moving up. Probably not.
Oh, Art. Okay. So yeah. So this actress has been in six movies. Well, eight, but two with no numbers. She was in Everybody Wants Some, which was Richard Linklater's last movie, I think, or most recent movie. They got 86%. But all these other movies, she was in Dirty Grandpa, Vampire Academy, Beautiful Creatures, Good Kids, but
yeah, I looked it up. Yeah. None of these were anything I had seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm recognizing her from.
Yeah. So okay. So that was Why Him, and that's going to be the four movies that are coming out this weekend. And so now we're going to move over to share time, and I think we're going to start with our voicemails. So first off, I want to say thank you for William and Tad for sending in your voicemails. Now I will say, now I know that Tad, I don't think really has been concerned about length, because he's very good about if he gets cut off, as you'll see, he'll call back to finish his voicemail. And William, I think you're a little concerned about, you know, rambling on too much or it being too long of a voicemail. Rambling on is kind of our jam on this show. So
yeah,
if you're going to drop a 10-minute voicemail, I'd say go for it. So what we're going to do is we are going to kind of flip-flop back and forth. So first, we're going to have Tad tell us about his experience with some movies, which may or may not include Doctor Strange. So Tad, take it away.
Hey guys, this is Tad calling in for Backseat Box Office. I didn't call in this week earlier. It's Saturday. So if you guys recorded already, then I didn't get on it. But if not, you know, anyway, whatever. So we set up the outside movie theater last weekend. I sent Art some picture, or I sent Art a picture. But anyway, so we set up the big screen, surround sound outside, watched a couple movies. The two movies that we watched were, we watched Tarzan, the newest Tarzan movie. I liked it okay. It was pretty good. I'm one of those guys when it comes to Tarzan, you know, one of the fanboys that, oh, that's not quite like the books and all that kind of stuff. I read all the Tarzan books when I was probably in junior high or so. And, you know, I've got my little things that I like about Tarzan. And if they aren't in the movie or something, it kind of, you know, I don't like that very much. But actually, the movie was pretty good. I liked, I mean, there were a couple things that I didn't seem like Tarzan, you know. He didn't quite act like I thought Tarzan should act to me or whatever, but, you know, it's just a reinterpretation. It just maybe wasn't quite to my, you know, to my taste, but it was a pretty good movie. It's worth, you know, doing a Redbox or a Netflix if you get the chance. The other movie we watched was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Now, my exposure to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the role-playing game in the 80s. We played the role-playing game some, me and my friends, and then I remember the cartoon that was on TV. I didn't watch it a whole lot, but, you know, I was aware of it and watched it now and again. The thing I was really excited about in this movie was they had Casey Jones. He was always kind of my favorite character in the TMNT universe, and I had heard how he'd been portrayed, and I was kind of like, it's not really what I wanted, but actually, I liked how they did him. I think it turned out pretty well. I think he turned out pretty well. I liked the character. I like the guy that played him. I like how he played him. I like the way, you know, I like the way it was written. It was, so I was pretty happy with that. Again, probably not the greatest movie ever, but, you know, it's Ninja Turtles. I mean, it's hard to go wrong with that. So again, it's kind of a, you know, red box Netflix thing for me. I liked it. And, so that's what I watched right now. I'm in the car on my way to see Doctor Strange. The wife isn't feeling good tonight. She says, I'm taking NyQuil and going to bed. I said, well, I want to see Doctor Strange. She doesn't want to see Doctor Strange, so I'm going by myself to see Doctor Strange, and I'll probably call in and report on that. Let you guys know what I thought, but everything I've heard so far is really good, so my expectations are a little bit up. I know who Doctor Strange is. I don't think I ever really read a Doctor Strange comic book. But, you know, like, read, you know, other books that he was in, made into... Hey, guys, this is Pat calling back in again. I just finished up with Doctor Strange. I got cut off there on the last voicemail, but I kind of wasn't really going anywhere anyway, so that's okay. Let's see. Okay. So first, I'm going to just go over a couple of the trailers I saw. Saw a Star Wars Rogue One trailer I hadn't seen before. I'm real excited about that. I can't wait to see it. And then I saw a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that I had seen before, and I'm real excited about that one too. Okay, and then I saw a Logan trailer. I'm excited to see it. I like the X-Men movies. I kind of wish they were part of the Marvel universe. But you know, okay. So, Doctor Strange. I really liked it. The special effects were good. I just saw it in regular movie format, no 3D or anything like that. But I really liked the movie. Pretty good. I didn't know a lot about Doctor Strange, so, you know, it was pretty much, I'd say it's an origin story. But, I liked it. And let's see. Cumberbatch. I haven't seen a whole lot of stuff with him in it. But I know he's English, but so I was kind of listening for his accent. Didn't really hear it at all. So he's a good actor. But, let's see. The, there were two end credit scenes. I really liked the first one. It was pretty funny. And then the one right at the end of the credits, it was good too. I liked it. So if you go see Doctor Strange, if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you stay and watch all the way through the credits to see the two end credit scenes. Let's see. So yeah, I really like Doctor Strange. I'm really impressed with how the whole Marvel universe is coming together and just how they're doing this and how good all the movies are. I don't think they've really had a miss yet. Every time I see one, I'm like, man, this is the best one. But, I'm looking forward to, the next Ant-Man, especially. I don't know why I like that one so much, but I did. And Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange. I think they're probably my favorite ones. So I'm looking forward to those and good movies. And thanks for the show, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Tad, for that. I am glad that you had a good time with Doctor Strange. You know, I think we all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Too. Okay, so now let's go over to William's voicemail. And William's going to tell us about what he's been watching and what he's been checking out. So go ahead, William.
Hey, Backseat Producers. This is William Paul. Just sending him a weekly voicemail. I know that there's been a little bit of a hiatus on your end. That's quite all right. Just basically to catch up on what I've been watching since the last voicemail everybody heard. I watched movies, the Divergent Trilogy. Basically, good movies, but basically they're just big advertisements for the books. They really just made me want to read the books. It seemed like they glossed over a lot, which that's usually what happens when there's movies made from books and such. Also watched Kingsman. Fantastic movie. Loved the movie. Had only just one small problem with it, which, you know, it's a nitpick for me. The Swedish Princess's promise, if everything gets handled appropriately. You know, whatever. Not everybody's going to have that same problem that I do. also had in a prior voicemail about the big CW invasion event. They say it's a 4-episode event. Really, you can skip the Supergirl if you're just trying to watch the event, because it's really doesn't have any bearing that isn't covered in one of the other 3 episodes. And I think, even though it was good, it was a mistake to do it around the 100th episode of Arrow, because the 100th episode being what it was just a clip show, and it really detracted from the event itself. You guys ask about how I have a lack of Teen Wolf, access to Teen Wolf. Basically, my wife and I, we have no cable. We cut the cord, so to speak. And so really our only access through streaming is Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime does have the prior seasons of Teen Wolf as a part of their Prime package, but current season, while available to purchase, probably will not become available until after the season is over. So there is that. As far as what I've watched this past week, Rogue One, you're not going to be able to avoid seeing the movie. You know, actually, I had no expectations for the movie going in. In retrospect, looking back on it, I think I only went to see it out of geek obligation. That, you know, I consider myself a geek, and there is a certain expectation for me to go see it because I am a geek. I mean, of course, I absolutely loved it. The scene at the end with Vader, oh, fantastic. Of course, Alan Tudyk stole the show. And I mean, really, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, if you are a fan of the old World War II movies, that, you know, like, I think John Wayne was in some of them, you know, that style, that type, Rogue One is the movie for you. Also, this week, my wife and I, we watched My Neighbor Totoro for the first time. That is, of course, a Miyazaki classic. You know, myself, never having seen it, I absolutely loved it. I mean, of course, going in, you have to understand that it is a movie from a different era. I mean, of course, it came out in the 80s, but I think even when it came out in the 80s, I think it was telling and relating a story of a much earlier generation. I think it does it very, very well. I think that if you have not seen it, you're doing yourself a disservice to not see it at some point. Always better to see it if you have kids. See it with kids if you can. I didn't have the chance to do that, but regardless. Anyway, that's what I've been up to this week and before, so I will catch you guys next week.
All right, and thank you for that. He did touch on Rogue One a little bit. And Art, how are you feeling about spoilers for Rogue One? Do you want to wait?
I think we should wait.
Okay.
I think,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so obviously we'll probably have 2 parts. Not that I'm not saying that William had any spoilers. I'm just kind of taking this opportunity so we can kind of plan out our share times there. Oh, thank you, Phil. All right. And now we have another voicemail from Tad, and he's going to kind of respond to what we were asking about with Vikings. And God bless him. He did some research on how everyone can check out Vikings if you're interested on catching up. So, and some other things he's been up to. So go ahead, Tad.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in. Hope you guys get this before you record. It's Wednesday. It's kind of a little bit late. It's definitely before you guys will be recording, but whether or not you'll actually get the voicemail or not, I don't know. So let's see. I was going to talk about the show Vikings. You guys were talking about it a little bit, thinking you might want to watch it. So I'm gonna look up. I looked up the information on that. So if you guys want to get caught up on it or start watching it, I found. Basically, you can go to the History Channel, show. So you can go to the History Channel website, and then seasons 1 through 3 are available on iTunes, and it's about $3 an episode, or I think about $20 for the season. It's also available on Amazon for about the same price, although if you have Amazon Prime, it's you can watch it for free. Season 4 is a little more tricky. I think it's available on iTunes. Well, they're still in Season 4, so I think you can get seasons 11 through 3 on the History or 11 through 13 on the History Channel website. You can also get them on iTunes for, I think you can get the whole first half of the season or the season that's played up until now on iTunes for $9.99 or $2.99 an episode. And we're still in the second half of the fourth season. So I think it just keeps getting better and better. I would recommend it. So that's the information I found on that. I'm going to call back again because this time's probably about to run out on this voicemail and tell you guys what I've been watching. So, all right. Thanks for the show. And hey, talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in with what I watched this weekend, or this week. So lately, you know, I've been watching my regular shows, Vikings and whatnot, and but this time of year, I watch probably about 4 or 5 different versions of A Christmas Carol. And I just really like the show. It puts me in the Christmas mood, and I really like watching it around Christmas time. And of course, they're all on, so I can, you know, look on my DVR and record them when they come and then watch them when I want to. So far I've watched the 1935 version with Seymour Hicks. It's kind of old. Well, it's black and white. The film's getting kind of old. Parts of it are pretty dark and kind of hard to see, but I still enjoy it. And I've watched the 1938 version. I can't remember who's the main actor in that one. But, again, it's black and white. The film's a lot better quality, still in pretty good shape. I've also watched my favorite version, which is the 1984 version. And it's pretty good. It's my favorite. I really like it. I just finished watching that one last night, and I've got the, I can't remember what year it is. I think it was in the 90s, and it has, what's his name? Jean-Luc Picard, as the, Patrick Stewart as plays Scrooge. And I've seen that one a few times. I like it pretty well too, but I'm probably going to be watching that here probably in the next couple of few days. So, hope you guys get time to record. It's getting close to Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. And, it was good to hear that someone else, put in a voicemail. And I hope they continue, maybe get some other people in there. But, that's great. It was great to hear someone else to actually voicemail. All right, guys. Thanks for the show. Keep it up. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Tad. Thank you, everyone being Tad and William, for the voicemails. Do we really need, you know, there's just so much to watch now.
There is, but I really appreciate it because I think it's helping to light a fire in my butt to actually go and check it out. And now that I have the info, I have no excuse. Yeah. So
same here.
Right.
Same here. We're just bad friends. That's all it is. Okay. So now that we got our voicemails out of the way, and thank you, Tony, for giving me that one. Yeah, the 11th hour kind of thing. All right. Art, what have you been up to?
Okay. So since it's only been a week, not as much as last time. So I like I said, you know, brother-in-law came through with tickets to go see Rogue One. So we went and saw it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. There are people talking about how they put it, you know, at the top of the franchise. I don't agree with that as much, and we can dig into that a lot deeper, maybe next week, maybe in the new year, to give people time to see it. But I enjoyed it. I really did. I like the direction they took. I like the grittiness that really carried through. I know when people heard they were doing reshoots, they thought maybe they were softening things up. And that really wasn't the case, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I have am continuing to find new things to watch on cable, mostly with Aubrey. And so we have watched a few new shows. One is, there is a show, I think it's called Walking the Prank. And it's basically a kids prank show where they're playing pranks on adults. And I think it's actually very cheesy. Aubrey absolutely loves it and is now walking around the house constantly trying to pull pranks on me and Brittany. And it's kind of funny because they're 5-year-old pranks. They're, you know, telling you an absolute blatant lie in the hopes that you'll believe it enough so that you can say, ha ha, you've been pranked. It's actually quite cute. But it could get annoying very quickly if it continues on much longer. So we'll see how that goes. There are several other, you know, just kids shows, things on Disney. There's one, I don't even know what the name of it is, but it is kids working on like being internet celebrities, posting videos, doing things that are funny. The company they kind of work with is called Yugle. So it's sort of like some type of a cross between Yahoo and Google. But it's also very interesting. I know I talked in the past about her being on a Hey Jesse kick, and Hey Jesse finally, or I think it's just Jesse. I don't know. The song is Hey Jesse. It's just Jesse. Okay. Mm-hmm. The song is Hey Jesse over and over and over again. So it always makes you think that it's named Hey Jesse, but it's not. Well, Hey Jesse wrapped up and those kids grew up, and now they have a show where they're at summer camp, which is actually pretty funny. But it has all the same kids with the exception of Jesse. And yeah, it's been interesting. So we're exploring cable and finding a bunch of watch. And I think that's about it for my week. I think we're going to go, I've got the next 4 days off, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So hopefully we're going to squeeze in Sing. We're going to finally get, Moana watched. So we'll see if we get that accomplished by the time we come to the next show, but that's where we're at right now. How about yourself, sir?
Okay. So, I also saw Rogue One, and I went to the Four Color Fantasies screening that we didn't get the movie started till like 10:45, 10:50, when it was supposed to go at 10. Mm. They did a double feature, so they did a 3D at 7, and then they did a 2D at 10. We had a few members of the 501st there. So one guy dressed up in the traditional stormtrooper, and then they got a guy had death trooper armor.
Nice.
And then there was a third one that went and he basically stood by the ticket taker and just kept saying to people, move along, which was hilarious. But the dude was like 5'6". And I'm sure everyone's telling him, are you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Yeah.
But anyways, as far as the movie, I would say it was good, but it wasn't great. I enjoyed myself, but in my estimation, the movie that we were sold in the trailer is not what was in the theater of thing. And we'll get into it next week about, and I think that when you compare this movie and Episode 7 of Force Awakens or The Force Awakens, that they got lucky with the reshoots, because you really can't tell what the reshoots were about in Episode 7. I think that Disney panicked, and they have no reason to. They had absolutely no reason to. There was some things about this one that we're going to have some stuff to talk about next week. But it didn't really hinder my enjoyment. There was a good amount of space battles in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely enjoyed that part of it. But everyone who thinks that there's some level of Star Wars fan, you know, I'd say you still need to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, it's just rife with problems, but you know, there are some things that, you know, probably nitpicky, but, you know, I don't know if Disney has 100% figured out how to make a Star Wars movie yet, or to have confidence, because, you know, kind of like Marvel got out of the way for Guardians, I pretty much think. And yeah, it was a huge hit. You know, it's probably, Star Wars is probably a bigger deal as far as Disney's concerned. So I don't know. Again, I've kind of beaten this horse to death. We'll talk about it next week. All right. Yeah. I have two other movies that I realized I forgot to talk about last week, that I finished. And it's not really light fare. These are some pretty serious movies. So the first movie I'm going to talk about is Rampart. So I landed on Rampart because, it's about, being a police officer in LA, or being one police officer in LA. It's starring Woody Harrelson. And I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, if this movie came before The Shield or The Shield kind of informed this movie, because they're kind of almost the same animal. It's just a different character kind of thing.
Okay. Hold on. We did talk about this because I was trying to remember an old show from like the late 60s, early 70s that I thought was called Rampart.
Yes.
So I was looking, and the show was called Emergency.
Oh, yeah.
Hospital they were based out of was Rampart.
Mm, right.
That's what I was remembering. So,
well, there's a particular, I don't know if it's unit or department, LA, called Rampart Division, kind of thing. And I don't know if those two things are connected. But this one is really about cops being absolute monsters.
Right.
And I don't want to say subverting, but, you know, living within the system. But, it had, a good cast. Woody Harrelson, Ned Beatty was in it. Robin Wright, Ice Cube. Ice Cube played the, IA investigator that was after Woody Harrelson. And it was an okay experience for me. Harrelson did a good job. It's kind of, his wheelhouse is these kind of characters. But I'm not into these movies that are demonizing law enforcement.
Right.
You know, I obviously, with the environment that we're living in right now, we're hearing about, a lot of shootings and that kind of stuff. I don't know. I just didn't, you know, it probably because I watched The Shield and this was just more of the same. It was an okay experience for me. I don't know. If you can catch it and you like Woody Harrelson, I'd say catch it. But, you know, maybe it might be a pass. I don't know. You'll have to decide for yourself. All right. The other movie was, and I don't even remember why I recorded this, because, you know, again, these are two movies that were at the bottom of my DVR. The other one was Camp X-Ray. Now, Camp X-Ray is about Guantanamo Bay. Mm-hmm. And our methodology of detaining suspected collaborators with, I think back then it was Al-Qaeda, but I don't know if it's Al-Qaeda/ISIS or that kind of thing. And so this kind of looked interesting to me because Kristen Stewart plays one of the guards, and she's one of the greener guards. And I thought that this is a different role for her. So I just thought I'd check it out. And this movie definitely has an axe to grind about, you know, wrongful imprisonment. And the cost, not really the cost, but, you know, kind of questioning is how we're handling this a good idea. And I know there's a political, a lot of political talk about this about, you know, what they're doing. And it's a story somewhat believable about a guard and one of the detainees, can't call them prisoners because they have, you know, more rights under the Geneva Convention. Right. You know, a relationship that develops between these two, which probably in real life would, I don't want to say never happen, but it's very hard for something like this to happen. You know, I kind of factored out because I didn't really like the argument that they're kind of trying to make, but I don't know. I didn't want to think about it too much. Kristen Stewart was good. I still don't know how good an actress she is. But she, you know, I enjoyed her in this movie, and the actor that played her counterpart, the detainee, was good also. This isn't a feel good, happy ending kind of movie. I mean, this will, you know, will probably stick with you for a while. You know, if you're in the mood for something that's a little more current event like, I definitely recommend this one. All right. I think that's it for me. I haven't been watching too much TV lately. I take that back. I am halfway through the final episode of Agent Carter. It is the saddest thing ever because it is getting really good. I am going to miss the one of their minor characters, Dr. Pemberley, who is played by stand-up comedian Matt Bronger. He actually has a podcast called Ding Donger. It's Matt Bronger. he is so good at that. I mean, because he basically looks like someone that should have been born, you know, should have been an adult in the 50s. But, I'm not sure how the ending's going to come out, but I'm definitely going to miss not necessarily Haley Atwell as Agent Carter, but, you know, everybody else. But I'm sure I talked about that already. All right. So I'm going to end my share time right here. So now, how much news you got, Art?
I got a couple of minor stories, basically a couple of movies I did not see coming.
Okay.
So I will lead off with, have you heard of Monster Calls?
I've only heard it in the fact that it's supposed to be coming out on 4 theaters next week.
Oh, okay. That's a very small opening. No wonder I hadn't heard of it.
Well, I mean, it's with some of the smaller movies, they've been doing that where, you know, the 4 screens, for the most part, means 2 in L.A., 2 in New York, and then it will, the week later, it will go to like 2,000 or 2,500.
Okay. So this is basically this story about a boy who his mother is dying, and this monster kind of comes to him to help him through the grieving process. So it's kind of a fantastic realism sort of tale, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But the monster kind of looks like a giant Groot on steroids.
Mm.
But it just talks about the director. It says he was kind of inspired by E.T. the Extraterrestrial and the Neverending Story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, meeting a strange creature and a big fantastical overarching tale. So I don't know. It looks like it could be interesting. I haven't seen a trailer yet. Like I said, it's something I didn't even know was coming until I saw like 3 or 4 different stories on it just today. So it just kind of hit my radar. Mm.
Okay, well, we're approaching the end of the month, and that's when you usually get the Netflix stories about what's leaving Netflix and what's coming to Netflix. So here's your obligatory news article on what's leaving. So we have Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet Frankenstein, Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet the Wolfman will be leaving. Bring It On and Bring It On, : All or Nothing will be leaving. Dazed and Confused. A whole bunch of HGTV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, Stardust.
Aww.
Stardust will be leaving. The Italian Job, 16 Candles, Fast and the Furious, : Tokyo Drift, Saving Private Ryan. Okay, so that's the bad news. Here's the good news. So what's coming on Netflix this month? Well, we have you heard of Trollhunters?
Yes.
That's the Guillermo del Toro animated series.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's the original for Netflix only.
Aubrey saw the preview for this.
That's tomorrow.
Okay.
It should drop tomorrow. We also have Caddyshack, Braveheart, The Shining, B-Movie, Hugo, The Parent Trap, E.T., Superman Returns, Superman 2, 3, 4, The Quest for Peace, Superman the Movie, License to Drive. Do you remember License to Drive? No, probably not. Hey, Camp X-Ray comes on Netflix January 14th. Voltron Legendary Defender Season 2. Oh, and then for your trashy monster movie people, Sharknado the Fourth Awakens comes out January 31st.
Okay, what was the date on the Season 2 of Voltron?
Season 2 of Voltron, January 20th.
Oh, okay, that one's still quite a ways out. All right, Trollhunters Tomorrow. Got it. Actually, could it be Trollhunters Now?
Yeah.
It's 12:30 a.m.
Yeah, or p.m.
But...
Well, for me, it's 10:30. It's 10:30 p.m. It'd be 12:30 a.m. where you are, right?
Okay. Yeah. So it's a.m. for me now.
All right. So Art, what do you got next?
Joel, hold on. I'm looking. No, it's still just trailers. So it hasn't flipped over yet. Where's Netflix based? Are they based out on the West Coast with you?
Oh, come on. Nothing's on the West Coast, man.
Yeah, well, I could have said the left coast, but I was trying to be nice.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
Okay.
Left-behind coast. Go ahead.
Oh, you said it, not me. Okay, so the Emoji Movie trailer has a talking poo.
I thought we were better than this, Art. Really?
Hey, okay, listen, all right? Brittany's in her 20s. She uses emojis a lot. So, and that emoji poo is everywhere. You've got it. I mean, it's on shirts. It's got little throw pillows. He's everywhere. He's going to be a big star. This is going to be his breakout moment.
Of course he's everywhere. That's why there's toilet paper. Go ahead.
Right. I don't know. So I had no idea this was coming. And like I said, these two movies that were kind of not on my radar at all, I saw them. And so, I figured I'd throw it out there because people might want to know that there's an emoji movie coming. Come on. I mean, I think the bar is Pixels. Will it be better or worse than Pixels? We'll see.
I don't know. I haven't watched Pixels, so.
Me neither.
I probably will not.
No. Well, this will be a comparison of Rotten Tomato scores. We will not actually watch either of these movies to make a judgment. We will judge purely based on what other people say. I'm not willing to take either of those bullets for this team.
Yeah. All right.
What do you got?
All right. So another Netflix story. True or false? You could download Netflix movies to your mobile device.
I'm hoping the answer is true.
The answer is true. Back on November 30th, Netflix announced that you'll be able to download select movies and TV shows for offline playback. So what this really means is that you have to use the Netflix app on your iOS or Android device. You has to be iOS 8.0 or later or Android 4.4.2 or later. Downloading videos will consume about as much data as streaming, but if you do it on Wi-Fi, you can probably save your data plan a little bit for those people that have a capped data plan, don't have unlimited. How much storage space are you going to need? Well, for example, they say like an episode of Black Mirror with a running time of 1 hour and 3 minutes is about 280 megabytes if it's an SD standard definition. If it's an HD, it's probably going to be like 440 megabytes.
That's not bad.
They're saying how much storage space will you need if you're going to binge? Well, it says the new offline viewing feature is cool because it allows you to load up a bunch of content for long trips. So if you have a flight that's going to be like 5.5 hours, you can get like 6 episodes of Black Mirror. But that's going to cost you about 1.86 gigabytes of free space for SD or 2.45 gigabytes for HD. So unless you're flying outside of the country, you probably won't need more. Won't be much more than that. You can choose if you want obviously we alluded to this earlier, you can choose either SD video or HD video. In order to keep downloads quick, Netflix sets downloads to standard video, so your resolution is 720 by 480. According to a Netflix spokesperson, HD support will vary by device. They say that HD video can take up more space in your hard drive. They said for most users, SD will be good enough. And it's probably going to be pretty difficult if you're planning on downloading on your phone and moving over to a laptop or desktop or vice versa. But he says you have to use the Netflix app to download the videos. There's no way, you can probably start poking around your file system on your phone and figure out where their files are. But then how are you going to, playing it could be a different story. And one last thing, Netflix says that each download has a different expiration time. Movies and TV shows that expire from your device in less than 7 days, it will say how much time you have left in your My Download sections of the Netflix app. For some movies and shows, offline viewing must be completed within 48 hours. So obviously, pay attention if it tells you how much time you got left. All right, so that was a quick tour with downloading Netflix content. So, Art, what do you got next?
No, that's it. I just had those two stories. I find that Netflix thing, though, very fascinating. For trips and whatnot, that's great. You don't have to worry about losing connectivity when you're driving out in the middle of nowhere. So that I'm very appreciative, depending on the list of what's actually available. I know it did say select things would be available. With the expiration date, I mean, they should just let everything, just put a 48-hour cap on everything that you don't want to be running too loose. But, yeah, no, sounds good.
That might be like a negotiated piece of the contract with certain studios.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I'm sure
technically there's no reason they'd have to do that.
Right.
At least, that's what I would think, but.
I think this is just another step in the right direction of just, the changing of the way media is consumed.
Yeah, true. True. All right, my last story is I just have to laugh because every time I see more spin and more PR being attempted by Warner Brothers about Justice League and what I guess we can call it the DCU or the DCCU. All right. So the title of the article is Justice League to be a lighter take on murderous heroes, says producer. So DC movie mogul Charles Roven, who worked on Dark Knight Trilogy, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, he's also going to be a producer on Wonder Woman and Justice League. He gave an in-depth interview to Hollywood Reporter today. And so what did he say? Well, he said when it comes to Justice League, he said, we knew we were making a very serious, compelling, driving film with Batman v Superman. Now the bell has been rung, and the whole tone of the movie is lighter.
Mm.
What bell are they ringing?
Their bell got rung.
I don't know. Okay. This seemed better. Roven also called Superman v Batman, which underperformed, and Suicide Squad, which overperformed, huge hits. Answering a question about whether sequels might see budget cuts. Responding to past reports that he would step away from producing DC movies, Roven said that while he can't handle all the movies on the DC slate, he will for sure produce the sequels to the ones he's made. On Wonder Woman, he said, Wonder Woman is an origination story. I've always heard origin story, but anyways. So the whole dynamic and the plot moves are different than other DC movies. There's also a great relationship between her and the guy, and it says, played by Chris Pine, who crash lands on her island and is the trigger mechanism for her going back to man's world. And then this is from the writer of the article. A lighter superhero movie? A movie with a female protagonist that focuses strongly on a romantic relationship with a man? Truly, Charles Roven and Warner Brothers are looking to shake up the movie industry. Yeah, okay. Justice League hits theaters in November 2017. Wonder Woman comes out first in June. So we are 6 months away from Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So that's my last Guardians news story. 2.
That's what I'm more excited about.
What's that?
I said we're 3 months away from Guardians 2.
Yeah. Well, oh my God. I can't even
wrap
my head around that. But anyways. All right. So that's going to end the news. That's going to end our show. I'd like to remind everyone that you could find this episode, obviously, since you're listening to this, or previous episodes, or episodes of our brother show, sister show, Backseat Producers on our website, backseatproducers.com. You can also find the voicemail number there if you would like to call in like Tad does. Now, William, he records his own and he emails them to me. So if you want to do that, we you know, you can leave a blog comment, or, you know, you can just send me a tweet at JB63, or you could send Art a tweet at Art Santos Jr. Other than that, that's a way that you can get a hold of us or leave voicemails so you can also be heard on the show. But other than that, thank you for listening. Thanks again to William and Tad for the great voicemails, and we look forward to listening to your future ones. Other than that, I will belabor the point by saying again, thank you for listening. And this is going to be our last show before Christmas, so however you celebrate the holidays, I hope you have a great holiday. Art, is there anything that you'd like to say?
Yeah, just know Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a happy holidays and good night.
And we'll end on that. So everyone, take it easy, and we will catch you next time.